The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. Today we're going to continue with our series through the subject of the Roman Empire and how its decline and fall relates to the modern Western world. I'll be reading extensively from the booklet entitled The Modern Romans, The Decline of Western Civilization. Starting with the chapter entitled Political Paralysis, we read, "The Roman Empire was administered by big government. It was a vast machine that awed less organized and less disciplined nations. But it developed alarming weaknesses we need to be warned of today. And we need to see if we can connect the weaknesses that are becoming more and more apparent in the United States of America today. Connect the comparison, connect the parallel, and heed the warning." Continuing, here is a quote from the book Roman Society in the Last Century of the Western Empire, written by Samuel Dill. Quote, "Long before the barbarian invasions of the reign of Honorius, A.D. 395 to 423, the fabric of Roman society and administration was honeycombed by moral and economic vices which made the belief in the eternity of Rome a vain delusion." End quote. Rome possibly could have fallen several times in its history, but the leadership of strong men, despite other personal vices or shortcomings, delayed the breakdown of the empire by the institution of strong administrative reforms. Following on the heels of Julius Caesar, Augustus Caesar more perfectly welded together the unity of the empire, saving it from the corruption and civil war of the later republic. Diocletian and Constantine delayed the end again by certain reforms in administration and economics in the late 3rd and early 4th centuries. Theodosius and a few other emperors tried desperately to put a stop to rampant corruption and injustices toward the end of the 4th century. But in spite of such leaders, the end of the Western Empire finally came. One man could not take the place of national spirit and unity. You see, a nation can have a very strong leader and even a strong administration. But if the population does not support that administration, that one man cannot bring about a change that will avoid catastrophe in that nation. And the ancient Roman Empire is a case in point. And we need to heed that in our beloved countries of today. Continuing, "A few struggling and concerned men at the top couldn't alter the course of a largely apathetic and morally decadent populace, which combined disastrously with the politically corrupt maladministration of underlings. After the death of Theodosius, A.D. 395, the decay of the Roman Empire in the West was rapidly accelerated. Following emperors were appreciably weaker and incompetent. They became the puppets of scheming advisors, administrators, and military commanders, the latter being largely of barbarian stock." Can we draw parallels here? Can we see similarities taking place in the Western world today, and in particular in the United States of America and Great Britain? We all know about special interests and lobbyists that have such tremendous clout and carry such weight and can sway so many decisions in the halls of power in Washington, D.C., and in London, England. Well, that same kind of thing was happening to bring about the decay, decline, and fall of the Roman Empire in the early centuries, A.D. The same thing was happening then, and the same thing is happening now. Internal corruption producing disastrous results. Continuing to read, "Administrative problems for the empire gradually intensified through the years. As the empire grew, Roman administration demanded better collection of taxes and improved distribution of services, especially to the military. A gigantic bureaucracy," doesn't that sound familiar? "A gigantic bureaucracy developed. The imperial civil service, instituted first by Augustus, was greatly enlarged by Diocletian to service the reorganized administration and the greatly enlarged military. But, true to form, with this rapid expansion of civil service came a downgrading in the quality of the administrators. The central government could no longer exercise sufficient discrimination in appointments or keep a close check on conduct of civil service appointees. By the days of Constantine, administrative corruption was rampant." A.H.M. Jones wrote the book, The Latter Roman Empire, and in there he says this, quote, "It is clear from Constantine's legislation that he was shocked by the corruption and extortion which prevailed among provincial governors, but he was evidently unable to restore respectable standards of probity. And frankly, like today, red tape didn't help." Continuing, Jones says, "Excessive centralization involved an immense volume of clerical labor and slowed up the processes of government. Nor did it achieve its objective of checking corruption." Isn't it incredible that back then they had the same problems with politics and corruption and special interest and widespread confusion that we have today in our governments at the local, state, and national level? And the bad results that happened then are happening today. And the end results that happened then, those same end results are going to happen today if a change of direction doesn't take place, and soon. Continuing to read, "A study of the Roman law code reveals the great effort of several emperors to control abuses and injustices rampant in the later empire. The paradox is clear. The very institution of law after law is evidence that order was breaking down. Legislation was legion. Laws to put down fraud, protect the weak, the slave, the debtor, the poor free man from the rich, the laborer against his superior, the father from the ingratitude of his children. Laws against corrupt political practices. Laws, laws, laws. You know, we really don't need any more laws. We need enforcement of the laws that are already in place. But that's not being done, and it wasn't done in ancient Rome either." Here's something else Dill said in his book, Roman Society in the Last Century of the Western Empire. Quote, "The last and deepest impression which the inquirer will carry with him as he rises from a study of the Theodosian Code issued A.D. 438 is that fraud and greed are everywhere triumphant, that the rich are growing richer and more powerful while the poor are becoming poorer and more helpless, and that the imperial government, inspired with the best intentions, has lost all control of the vast machine," end quote. But it wasn't just the bureaucracy which was often criminal. The whole society was infected with the same corrupted spirit. Ferdinand Lott wrote the book, The End of the Ancient World and the Beginning of the Middle Ages, and here's something he said in that book, quote, "Everyone stole. In the army, the clerk stole the pay. The navicolari, commercial tradesmen, charged with the service of the annoni, crop supply, stole from the corn. They themselves were exploited by those set over the ports. The recruiters accepted for conscripts the refuse of the colony. The postal administration exploited travelers. Public servants took bribes for judicial audiences," end quote. Many forms of extortion became general practice and caused no great excitement. There was no big hue and cry to change things. People just kind of accepted this corruption and this incredible criminal activity. Civil servants increased their salaries by tips or fees. Soon, however, the difference between the tips and bribes became unclear, but often it was the only way to get things done. And too often, like today, the justice for the rich and the poor was quite different. Jones writes in his book, quote, "The high courts of justice were so clogged with appeals, the delay so interminable, and the fees so high, that the victims of injustice in the lower courts were denied redress unless they had very long purses," end quote. Very similar to today in our society, let's face it. The crisis resulting from the administrative abuses elaborated by Diocletian and Constantine were a tragedy in the truest sense. There was, quote, "a humiliating paralysis of administration, in which determined effort to remedy social evils only aggravated them till they became unbearable, in which the best intentions of the central power were generation after generation mocked and defeated alike by irresistible laws of human nature and by hopeless perfidy and corruption in the servants of government," end quote. Jones writes. Need we mention the shame of political scandal today, where lies, cover-up, and illegal political activity is dragging this nation through one of the greatest times of trauma and is leaving the populace disenchanted with any leadership from anyone for many years to come. That's the state of affairs today, especially in the United States and Britain. Today, leaders in government, high and low, face an impasse. Despite all of their well-intentioned attempts to alleviate severe problems, and some leaders in government are well-intentioned and are trying to do the right thing, but they're few and far between. To one degree or the other, most are tainted with some form of political scandal and unacceptable conduct. Despite all of their well-intentioned attempts to alleviate severe problems, social, economic, and political, things only get worse. They are met by opposing factions and forces at every turn. Many of the more capable people in government at all levels are just throwing up their hands and quitting. And so it was in Rome. Frustration sets in, and people decide, I'm not going to waste my time in this corrupt way of life. So they walk away from the political life. Ferdinand Lott, historian, says of the overall condition of later Roman administrations, quote, in spite of all, the state failed in its role of protector. It was ill-served and betrayed by its own agents. This aristocracy was disloyal in its service to the government while cowering before it. It secretly thwarted it, not so much from hatred as from a spirit of opposition and from selfishness. The ruling class lost all spontaneity and initiative, and in its case also, character fell very low. The empire had become too vast, too cunning, and too complicated a mechanism. End quote. So writes Ferdinand Lott. Roman bureaucracy, trying to tackle the vast problems in every area, couldn't keep track of what was being done. The difficulties increased in complexity and numbers. Result? The empire was forced to increase the number of individual administrators, which limited each one's authority and cut effective communication between each division. One governmental unit was not sure what another was doing. This further complicated the problems of governing. Now, let's be honest and face facts and face reality. Isn't this a perfect description of what is happening in the political scene and the administration of government in our country today and in all of the Western world where you have democracy and where you have freedom? Sadly, when we face the truth, that's exactly what's going on. The same thing that went on in ancient Rome that led to its decline and collapse in 476 AD. We don't want that to happen to our beloved countries. But if a change does not take place, a drastic change in direction, and a drastic reduction in corruption and political malaise and abuse, exactly the same fate that befell the mighty superpower called the Roman Empire will be the fate of the mighty superpower of the United States of America. We can't just sit by and think this is all going to go away. We can't just hope somebody will come along to lift us out of this ever-deepening and widening ditch to disaster. We have got to face the situation and start asking the right questions and insisting on the right answers. And we've got to take a look at what we're going to do in our individual lives. Continuing to read from this booklet, The Modern Romans. In the same years in which the barbarians were actively harrying the Roman provinces, mutual assistance and concord between the eastern and western divisions of the empire was urgently needed. Unfortunately, the reins of government were in the hands of men who, for different reasons, were unpopular, and in all their political actions were influenced chiefly by the consideration of their own fortunes. J.B. Barrie, in his book History of the Latter Roman Empire, brings this point out. In other words, the political leaders of the day were more concerned about their own personal power and riches than they were about their jobs of leading and looking after their responsibilities in the governing of the nation. Thus hampered by ineffective administration coupled with continual struggles of usurpers for the throne, Rome succumbed to the barbarians within and without the empire, who took advantage of Roman political turmoil and weakness and piecemeal, little by little, sliced off sections of the empire. Gradually, by piecemeal, the Roman Empire began to crumble and fall apart. Take a look at what's happening to various individual states right now in the United States of America. By piecemeal, More and more states are getting into big trouble in every way, even including bankruptcy. Take California as an example. We hear about it on the news nearly every day. This should sound the alarm. Does it? That's the question. Continuing to read. In like manner, the political trends in America are endangering the strength of the nation. Today's swollen bureaucracy at federal levels alone involves millions of individuals, hundreds of thousands of buildings, and mountains of paper. Nobody really is sure who is doing what. There are scores and even hundreds and thousands of departments, boards, advisory committees administering countless programs and projects, many of them pork projects, often overlapping and in conflict with each other. In addition, the federal government has increasingly become involved in functions usually relegated to states or urban administration. This also was a growing problem in the empire. Why? Because cities vied with one another in local patriotism, public munificence, public health and order, lavish and spendthrift expenditures on pageants, public distributions, and buildings occurred. Many cities went over their heads in debt, just like we see today. In order to control this, the emperors increasingly had to interfere in city and provincial administration. The results? Quote, central authority was called upon to interfere on account of deplorable defects of municipal administration, while municipal life was disturbed and atrophied by constant interference from above. That is from the book, The Cambridge Medieval History. Today the situation is similar. Only municipal and state governments are often asking the federal government to step in and rescue them from their out-of-control problems, but often they rebel at the conditions which the federal government wants to impose. Today, there is a growing consciousness of a credibility gap between what politicians and administrators say and what they actually do. You hear all these campaign promises, and then when they get elected, they forget all about those promises and totally change course in what they actually propose and end up doing. So the credibility and the truth and the reputation of the individual just sinks out of sight. They say one thing and do another. How can we depend on them? And corruption, quite often, and lobbyists and self-interest and their own fortunes are at the heart of the switch from doing what they promised they would do to doing something totally different. And today, government, large and small, is held in ever-lowering esteem by growing numbers. Take a look at the poll numbers that are published almost every day on the approval of various leaders of government. Almost all of them are sinking. But government is not always to blame for this situation. The moral character of many individuals is so poor that they have lost respect for any constituted authority, no matter what officials do. It's a national and international problem. In ancient Rome, it was government officials who provided the bread and circuses to keep unruly mobs quiet or to win public acclaim. Today, political office often goes to the man who can offer the biggest promises to the most, whether he can deliver them or not, the modern version of bread and circuses. And other names are applied to such things like pork projects and earmarks and other similar twists and turns in modern-day political administrations. And yet, while government seems more distant than ever from the individual, more and more individuals look to big government to do even more for them. So we are rapidly working ourselves into a no-win situation. And that spells big trouble for the future of our beloved country and countries. I want to turn to a couple of scriptures in the Bible now, because God's word was inspired by Almighty God, and he saw what was coming in the future if we did not obey him, and he warns us about it, and he leaves us instructions and examples that if we follow, we can avoid these disasters, but if we don't, then the disasters and collapses are inevitable. Let's turn over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. In this chapter, Paul is writing about the mistakes that ancient Israel made and why they ended up failing in the wilderness, and says that God recorded that as an example for us to learn from today. The same principle holds true with taking note of the failure of the superpower Roman Empire of long ago as compared to the superpower of the United States of America today and its allies, notably Britain. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. Paul writes, "Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." Now that refers to the individual, but it also refers to the nation. Who is going to take heed on an individual basis? Will you? Will I? And who is going to stand up for what is right today on a national and international basis? Can you think of anybody who's doing that or who will do that? Well, we read right here in God's Word that if that isn't done, big trouble is going to happen. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 10, "Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." Why, there are people who would just scoff at the idea that the great powers of the Western world would fall into decline and decay and then collapse, especially the United States of America. But if you take heed to what happened to many powerful countries of the past, and especially focus on the mighty Roman Empire that was in power in an unassailable and unchallenged position for over 500 years, you'll see that people would scoff and laugh at the very thought that that empire would collapse. It was referred to as the Eternal Empire, Eternal Rome. But it did collapse. And why did it collapse? Well, we've been covering that in these programs. And the same causes for their collapse are emerging in the superpower of our day. Exactly the same things. And the result will be exactly the same if we don't take heed. I want to turn to one other verse. It's found over here in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4. Now, I'm going to read through this, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4. And let's just take notice and see if it is not a detailed description of the Western world today, and in particular, our beloved United States of America and Great Britain. It says right here in Isaiah 1 and verse 4, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, weighted down with lawlessness and sin and corruption and crime and selfishness and self-absorption. A seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors." Don't we find that at every level of society today, and especially in government and politics? I know there are some people that are trying to do the right thing, and there's some people that are doing good things, and they're good people, yes. But they're quickly being overwhelmed by a majority that are not good people, who have good intentions, and who are accomplishing good things. Rather, they are corruptors. They have forsaken the Eternal. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. Israel in prophecy, meaning the descendants of Jacob, meaning the Western world, and in particular, meaning the United States and Britain of today. They are gone away backward, away from God and His way and His word. Verse 5, "Why should you be stricken anymore? Why should I correct you? Why should I attempt to get your attention anymore?" God is saying. "You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." Corruption and sleaze and outright criminal activity is rippling through all levels of our society and in every nook and corner of our nation. And it cannot go on and continue if we're going to survive, if we're going to go forward and thrive and be the mighty beacon of hope to the rest of the world that we have been for so long. We're going to have to take action on a national level that will turn things around and settle things down and head us in the right direction and line us up with God and His Word or it's only a matter of time until we go the way of ancient Rome. And it has to start with the individual. So what are you, as an individual, going to do to change your life and therefore then help to change the wrong direction of our nation at large? What changes are you and I willing to make in our personal lives to get in line with God and with what His Word says before it's too late? The nations of the Western world, including America, Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and other Western allies, are now in grave peril. We must heed and take drastic, swift action now while there's still time. The first and foremost change that needs to take place is a deep and lasting change spiritually. This includes our individual, personal lives, involving changes for the better, as well as making changes at the national level. In other words, changes from top to bottom and side to side. Otherwise, we are facing dire and irreversible consequences because of our disobedience to Almighty God and His holy word. These consequences are almost too unbearable to even contemplate. This is not wild-eyed fanatical alarmism. This is reality based on the hard, cold facts of our situation. This is the truth. May God help us recognize the clear and present danger we now find ourselves in, and may we heed the stunning and growing warning signs right before our very eyes if we just look instead of turning away. If not, we're going to plunge past the point of no return. In Matthew 11, verse 15, Jesus Christ has some very pithy, sobering words. Notice Matthew 11 and verse 15, where Jesus Christ says this: "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Please request our free material that relates to this very subject that we've been covering here today. We will send you our article entitled End of an Era and another article entitled America the Beautiful, the Hated, and the Isolated. They are free, they'll cost you nothing, and there's no obligation on your part. Also ask for our free magazine, Straightforward, and we'll mail that to you as well. There's no charge or subscription price. Just send your request to Enduring Church of God, Post Office Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758. You can also call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.